Now, in order for us to get a more clear picture of this situation regarding Idumea and its position with Judea, I'd like to turn to the prophecy of Obadiah. And Obadiah tells this in more details. So we want to read through the little book of Obadiah, just one chapter, and show how this very situation existed and Obadiah was speaking of it. Obadiah is real little difficult to find because it's only about one page in most Bibles. It'll be right immediately adjoining Amos and just before you get to Jonah. And if you can't find it, look in the front of the Bible at the table of contents and look for the page number, because we're going to look at these verses in Obadiah. The same thing that Obadiah teaches is also taught in Jeremiah, the 49th chapter. And we're going to look at about the first 18 verses here. The vision of Obadiah. Now, we don't know very much about Obadiah. He's a rather obscure prophet, and he seemed to have one primary message to get across, and that was the message about the destruction of Edom, which is Idumea. And he prophesied about the time that the children of Israel were carried into captivity. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. It seemed that the Lord, when he got ready to bring about the destruction of Edom, he sent an ambassador. Whether this is literal or figurative, it doesn't matter. Among the heathen, that is, among the nations that were ungodly nations. And he stirred these nations up, saying, arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. That is, the nations round about would come in and do battle against Edom. Now, we've seen this happen several times. One time when God was ready to bring a punishment upon Israel, you know, he hissed and called like a beekeeper was calling a bunch of bees. And when he gave out his hiss, then all of these nations just swarmed in upon Israel as God wanted them to. And they were heathen nations. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. He brought about a situation in which Edom was greatly despised among the heathen, among the nations round about. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Now this nation of Edom was located in a very rocky and hilly section of the country. They had many of their dwellings were located in these high rocks. The city of Petra, which is a rocky city well fortified with high rocks, that they have discovered it had quite elaborate dwellings carved out in these rocks. It was in this country of Edom. And so he's telling them that you who live so high in the rocks, you who think that you're so safe and secure there, you're going to be brought down to the ground. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. You can't get high enough. You can't get enough protection. You can't get enough security in your rocky, craggy dwellings to cause you to not be in a state of jeopardy whenever these heathen nations come in and invade. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? In other words, if robbers came in, they're just going to get all they want, and then they're not going to take any more. They're just going to get till they get enough. If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? If you were harvested by grape gatherers and you were grapes, wouldn't they leave some? It would be better, in other words, for you to be robbed by night, or if you to be harvested as the grape gatherers would harvest the vineyard, than for you to have what's going to happen, because nothing's going to be left when we're through with you. Even robbers would have left something, or grape gatherers would have left some. How are the things of Esau searched out? Now, he uses the word Esau here because, as we said, they were the descendants of Esau, and so they go by the name of their ancestor, Esau. How is hidden things sought up? There's nothing that they can hide. There's nothing that they can protect that will not be taken away or destroyed or consumed in this great conflict. All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee, and they that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Now these people, men of thy confederacy, these are the nations round about that you've made a treaty with, that you've made a confederacy with. They now have turned against you. They now have deceived you. They now have, as he words it here in King James, have laid a wound under thee, which would be some kind of an injury, inflicted you with some kind of an injury. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and the understanding out of the mount of Esau? Now this country was noted for its wisdom, for its intellect, for its understanding. And he says, I'm going to even destroy the wise out of Edom. And as we see this thing happening to Edom, we can look, of course, through the pages of history and see this same circumstance happening to many other nations in the course of history. You know, there's wars and wars and wars. And it seems that invariably nations are doomed. They are destined to have their wise men, that have their men who have understanding, to become so foolish and to have such a lack of insight that they mislead the nations and bring about their doom and destruction. And so he's saying that would happen here. And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the Mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. Now this Mount of Esau, of course, is Mount Seir, that mountain range we were telling you about. And Teman was a strong place in this land of Edom. And it is even used sometimes as a name in the place of the country of Edom or Idumea. Verse 10. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. Now his brother Jacob, you know, was the Israelites to the north, or the people of Judea. They went by the name Jacob. Edom went by the name of Esau, because they originally started out as the two brothers. But they had exercised violence against their brother Jacob up to the north. And he said, because of that, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces and foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. In the time of the great distress of Jerusalem, you stood on the other side and just watched. If anything, you helped whenever they entered into Jerusalem and carried away captive his forces. The strangers came and took him away captive, and the foreigners entered into his gates and they cast lots upon Jerusalem. That is, they just divided the city up and they hauled it off. They looted it. They cast lots for what was left of it. What did you do? Well, you just became as one of them. You were just like somebody who was helping them. You stood on the other side. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in that day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of their distress. So he describes what they did. You looked on. You treated them like a stranger while you spoke proudly in the day of their distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Now history tells us that when the people of Jerusalem were carried away into captivity, that these people from Idumea came up and they plundered the city. They partook of a part of this destruction of Jerusalem. And they were really had a hand in the whole thing, although it was more of a passive act than a positive act, because they then also became the object of the Babylonians' attacked a little later on. But he treats these two countries, Judah and Edom, like they're two brothers. One brother gets into a state of distress. He has an hour or a day in which he has his very existence threatened. And the other brother, if he's not just standing idly by watching, he's actively participating in his demise. And so what applies here to nations? would also apply to individuals or to brothers as we deal with each other. How could we stand idly by and watch a brother in such a state of distress? Or maybe even, once he's down, contribute to his downfall? Well, he further describes what they did in verse 14. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Now, those that were trying to escape from Judea and maybe would have had an opportunity to have escaped, while the Idumeans stood in the crossway. That is, they would stand in the narrow passageways and they would not let them escape. They would block their escape so that they'd have to face their captors. He said, you shouldn't have stood in the crossway. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. Now, the few that did seem to escape, they captured him and delivered them to the Babylonians. So you can see that Edom was really very high-handed and guilty of participating in this defeat of the people of Judea. Now, in verse 15, he begins to tell them, for the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. And they did have, of course, the same thing done to them. They were destroyed. They were carried into captivity themselves. But then whenever the Jewish people finally did come back to Jerusalem, they inflicted enough punishment upon the people of Edom that they completely annihilated them. And there are no Edomites left today. King Herod, during the time of Christ, was the last person that we know of who was an Edomite. And when he died, his race died with him. So he's saying that the same thing is going to happen to you. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. In other words, just as you participated in this trouble of Judea, you're going to have the same thing done to you. The heathen are going to treat you the same way. And in verse 17, he shows how this is going to be a change. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. So these people are going to be delivered. There's going to be a form of the true worship to God return. There's going to be holiness here. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. They're going to come back home. They're going to come back and reclaim this city. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire. And the house of Joseph, a flame. And the house of Esau for a stubble. Now, of course, Jacob and Joseph would be the children of God. And Esau is this country here that we're talking about. It's going to be like stubble. So you're going to have a flame making contact with stubble. Well, you know what's going to happen. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining in the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. So it's going to be just like stubble pitted against flame. Well, you know stubble doesn't have a chance whenever flame comes in contact with it. And that's the way he said it's going to be. It's going to be, you're going to be like stubble, and they're going to be like a flame, and there's not going to be anybody left. No, none are going to be left. And of course, that prophecy has certainly come to pass long ago. There are no more descendants that we know of the people of Idumea. But as he makes this contrast here, the one nation in a time of triumph while the other is in such great distress, and then a reverse comes about when one returns back and claims their possessions and they're righteous, they worship God, and they then are going to triumph and the other's going to be in distress. As he makes the contrast, our little prophecy in Isaiah 21, in which you have this man tauntingly calling to the watchman, what's of the night? What about the night? And the watchman says, well, the morning comes, but the night also is going to come. You can begin to see then how this certainly could apply to that circumstance. Well, let's move on now in Isaiah 21.